chapter 19. The theme of this is the Word of God. And I'll pray in just a minute, but let me say a few things about this first. There are 9 words in this psalm that refer to the Word of God. Different words. One is the word law. It refers not just to the law that was given on Mount Sinai, but all of God's will that He's given to man summarized in the word the law. Sometimes we see that the first 5 books of the Old Testament called the Pentateuch referred to as the law as well. And all of the Bible is referred to as God's law. Another word is testimonies. You'll see the word testimonies in verse 2 and many other times after that as well. And that refers to God's character. It is a testimony of who He is, not just the law that He gives. The third word, and I have put a verse down there, but it's not the only time it occurs. It's just one that occurs in the verses we're seeing tonight there. His ways, or sometimes way, singular. And this is a code of conduct. God does have an expectation. He does have a code of conduct by which we as Christians should live His way. Precepts, instructions given to direct His conduct. And so you'll see that word precepts throughout the scripture. And every time we see one of these words, even though they have some different meanings in their original language, they all refer to God's word. And so we'll use them synonymously because of that. His statutes, enactments of God as the legislator. He is the lawmaker. His statutes, His commandments. These are similar to the precepts, but they have more of an expectation to obey. Number 7, God's judgments. These are judicial pronouncements that God gives against particular behavior, or maybe we should say misbehavior, where God gives those judgments against certain sins. And then God's word is spoken or written words. It's similar to what we might say a quote from someone. And then the 9th one is words, or sayings or utterances. Whenever you read in the book of Exodus where it says God gave the 10 commandments, it's this last word. God gave these words. He gave these sayings here as well. And so all of these things God has given to us. The 3rd one, ways, it only occurs 4 times here. And all the other ones are at least 20 times each. So at least 20 times each one of these words is used except for the word way or ways. And so what a beautiful poem this is. Let's pray and then we'll look at a few more things. Father, thank You for the Word of God and for the emphasis that this psalm places upon Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for giving it to us, for telling us more about You in Your Word, for telling us how to please You in Your Word, telling us how to get saved in Your Word. Father, we pray that as we look at this psalm tonight and Sundays to follow, we pray that You would give us a greater love for Your Word, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at this, this poem is an acrostic poem. And whenever we look at these 176 verses, there are 22 stanzas in this poem. And each stanza has 8 verses. So 22 times 8, you'll come up with the number of verses in the psalm. And all 8 verses in each stanza begin with the same letter. And it's just amazing. The first 8 verses, they all begin with the Hebrew letter A, Aleph. And we'll see that. The next 8 verses, they all begin with the second Hebrew letter. And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so there are 8 verses for each letter. Can you imagine trying to write a poem where you were going to do 8 verses and every one of those started with a letter of the English alphabet? When you got to X and you were trying to think of 8 words that started with X, you might have a little bit of a difficulty there. But this is an inspired psalm, obviously. All of Scripture is inspired. But God used the people that wrote it and he worked through them and spoke through them. And so we'll be looking at the first 8 verses tonight, and the second as well. We'll do 2 of the stanzas, and the Hebrew letter is Aleph. And I actually have a little symbol there for you of what it looks like in the Hebrew. And you probably know this, but in case you don't, if you were to pick up a Hebrew Bible and you would turn to Genesis, you do know that you would turn to the back of the Bible and you would start on the right and you would read right to left. And I took a little bit of Hebrew in seminary and forgot a whole lot of Hebrew in seminary there. That was the hardest thing, learning to read right to left. I had a hard enough time learning to read left to right. In English, my first grade teacher could tell you there. As we go through these, and I number these, what I've done for tonight's study, may not do it the same way each time, but when you see the numbers up there, that will correspond with the verse. And in verse 1, undefiled is a key word. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And so as we go through these, pick out one of those 9 words for law, and it will be in all of 16 verses tonight. Now, when we get there, you will find that there are 3 verses out of 176, only 3, that don't have one of those 9 synonyms for the Word of God in it. They are 90, 122, and 132. So we won't get to those verses tonight. So the law of the Lord, we are undefiled. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. There's another word, who walk in the law of the Lord. Aren't you glad that when God looks at us, he sees us as being undefiled? He sees us as being righteous because we have the righteousness of Christ there. In Genesis 6:9, it says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with the Lord. The word perfect in that verse is the same word undefiled. And that's what God makes us complete. We know that the word perfect in the scripture doesn't mean without any sin at all, but it has to do with being complete. And we are complete in Christ. We have all that we need in Christ. We have all of the revelation we need in the Word of God. We don't need new revelation. As someone has said, it doesn't need to be rewritten. It just needs to be reread, doesn't it? There. And so Enoch also walked with God. And whenever we are not walking with God, when there's a broken fellowship, as it says in verse 1, here, we're not walking in the law of the Lord. And so God has given us these precepts, these testimonies, his ways, his statutes, and all of these things so that we can walk. This is the way, walk ye in it, completely undefiled. Verse 2, the key word, at least that I think, is the word seek. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And so seeking him and keeping his testimonies go together. Notice it doesn't say, and that seek the teachings. Now we need to follow the teachings. We are students, as we saw this morning. But it's a personal pronoun, that seek him with the whole heart. And whenever our desire is to seek God and to know him, we're going to know him through the scriptures, aren't we? He has revealed himself to us. We can see God in nature, but certainly we see him better in the Word of God. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity that walk in his ways. And so walk is our key word here in verse 3. Walking in God's ways will help us not to commit iniquity, because these two things can't be done simultaneously. You can't walk in his way and commit iniquity at the same time there. And so whenever we stop walking in his ways, we can fall into sin. And when we fall into sin, we have stopped walking in his ways. And so his ways That's the key word here for the synonym for God's word. Verse 4, you see it already on the screen there, keep. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently there. God's word is like a garden. And for a garden, we have to cultivate it. We have to do the weeding. We have to do the fertilizer, and we have to water it and all of those things. And God's word is like that in our hearts as well. And we cultivate it in our hearts as we keep God's word. The psalmist said in verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes here. And I've called this one steadfastness here, or being faithful, and that is needed. The world is looking for someone who is faithful and committed and steadfast in their convictions, that the things that they say they believe, they can look at the life and see that he says he's a disciple, as we saw this morning. He's learning, but he's also a servant. He's laboring. He's doing that which the Lord is teaching as well. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Again, you see the word ways, and you see the word statutes, two of our synonyms there. Verse 6, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And the key word here is respect. Do we have respect for God's word? Well, when we have respect for someone, we're going to honor them. We honor God's word by being obedient to it. It says here, I will not be ashamed. We become ashamed when we're not steadfast. If we're not faithful to God's word, then the shame comes in. We're ashamed whenever we slip and fall into sin. James tells us to fail in one point is to be guilty of breaking all of the word of God. And we have respect unto God's word. Verse 7, he says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And here we have the word uprightness. God is upright. God's word is upright. And we really haven't learned it until we have incorporated it into our lives. And that praises God, doesn't it? Whenever we read God's word, we begin to make it a part of our lives. We begin to walk in his ways. We begin to keep his statutes. We begin to love his law. We begin to memorize his law. And God's word is just a part of our vernacular. We use God's word when we're speaking. We saw this morning where we need to interject scripture into our conversations with other people. And it's God's word that we come to love and we come to live it as well. And verse 8, the last verse in this psalm says, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Forsaking. What happens whenever we forsake the word of God? It's my opinion. I haven't seen any kind of formal study done on it, but people that fall away from the Lord, using the word backslide or whatever you may want to call it, I think probably it begins when people begin to forsake God's word. That's why it's so important that we are in God's word. Not just as a habit, something we do. It ought to be a habit. We ought to do it, but we ought not do it because it's a habit. We ought to do it because we love God's word. It's his revelation to us. As one person said, it's his love letter to us. The word forsake here in verse 8 is a word that means to loosen and set free. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on us? Even whenever we fail him and we slip and fall, we have made this commitment to continue. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. God, I'm making a commitment. I'm going to keep your statutes. And God, here's what I'm asking you. Don't give up on me, God. Don't forsake me. God, I fail you so many times. I don't keep your laws like I should. I need your grace. And we sang about that this evening. And so it's a wonderful thing to have God's forgiving grace. So as we look at this first stanza, we see that we are to live the word in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Walking indicates a lifestyle. That is our lifestyle that we're living. If God says do it, I'm going to do it. If God says don't do it, I'm not going to do it. Verse 6, we love the law. It says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect. I love God's commandments, and I respect it and honor it. And then verse 7, I learn it when he says, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And when you look at those three things, the way they come in our Bible is kind of like a reverse order, the way we get them. We learn it. The more we know God's word, the more we love God's word. And the more we love God's word, the more we're going to live out God's word. And God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. And the psalmist says, God, I love your word. I want to know your word. I want to live your word as well. And then we come to the second stanza this evening. And this is the Hebrew letter Beth. Sometimes you'll see it written without the H on it there, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And let's read the stanzas together. If you'll follow along, I'll read all eight of these verses here. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You just see it over and over, don't you? It's just so rich, speaking about God's word. And verse 9, we'll look at a key word, and I'll put a little bit of a thought there behind it to help you, is cleansing. He asks a question. How can a young man cleanse his way? And aren't you glad he doesn't just leave it for us to figure out the answer? He tells us in the second part of the verse. How do we cleanse our way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible talks about the water of the word. And the water is pure. And it is a purifying effect on our lives. Whenever we read God's word and it goes in our minds, it begins to purify our thoughts and our minds and get us focused away from the world and away from the sinful flesh that tends to pull us away from God. By reading God's word, meditating on God's word, it cleanses our thoughts. Then verse 10, he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander. Don't let me wander from your commandments, God. The word wander means to stray away. And it's not just accidentally roaming, but it has the intentional idea, moving away from God. And we do that, don't we? We might not say in our minds, I'm going to get away from God. But we make choices, and we have the free will to make those choices. And sometimes the choices that we make are not choices that draw us closer to God, but they're choices that cause us to wander away from God. And then the next verse, verse 11, one that our students memorize and say when they say their pledges to the flag and to the Word of God, Christian flag, American flag, they quote this verse, a pledge to the Bible. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And hiding God's word in our heart is a wonderful thing. When we hide God's word in our heart, we're keeping it there in its constant. D.L. Moody said, "The Bible will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from the Bible." And staying in the Bible will keep us from sins, whether it's intentional or unintentional. We need to stay in the book, don't we? God's word cleanses us. God's word keeps us away from sin as well. Then in verse 12, he says, "Teach me. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." You know, for those of us who have coached, I've coached boys baseball and girls softball. When you're coaching, especially kids, we use a term, and that term is coachable. Some kids are more coachable than others. Some kids may think they already know everything and they can't be coached, but those kids that have that coachability, they're really fun to coach because they are constantly saying, "Coach, how can I do this better? How can I hit the ball harder? How can I hit it over here instead of hitting it here all the time?" You know, and that's what he's asking here. Teach me. Teach me. Show me, God, your statutes. And that little phrase, "teach me," occurs in this psalm in verses 12, 26, 33, 64, 66, 68, 108, 124, and 135. All of those verses say, "Teach me, teach me. God, I love your word. I want to know your word." And God is our teacher, isn't he? God has given to us the Holy Spirit. And formal training is good. If you get to go to Bible college or you get to take online courses, those are good and very helpful, and I encourage you to do that. But if you're never able to do that, it doesn't mean you're at a disadvantage. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, he is our teacher, and he will guide us into all truth. And that's what the psalmist says, "God, teach me thy statutes." Now, if God does the teaching, then it becomes our responsibility to do the learning and then take those things that we learn, as we saw this morning, as a disciple, and do our homework and do our seat work and be ready for the test, because God's going to teach us those things that he wants us to learn. The next one is in verse 13. It kind of goes along with Thanksgiving, and next Sunday evening we'll be having our Thanksgiving service in the gym. And he says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." I declared them. And that word means to count them up. Count your many blessings. See what God has done there. If the word of God is hidden in my heart, verse 11, it's going to come out. And so the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if we continue to put God's word inside our hearts, inside our minds, and we have it memorized and we are constantly reading it. I know as we get older, it's kind of harder to memorize things, and the things that we thought we knew, we forget and can't remember the reference there. But that's not an excuse to stay out of God's word, is it? Even though it might be harder to memorize it, constantly reading God's word, it becomes a filtration system. As we run our minds through the word of God, he begins to cleanse it and purify it as we meditate on God's word. Verse 14, riches. What is the most valuable thing that you own? Verse 14 says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." The most valuable thing we own is the word of God. God's word is such a valuable tool to us. Aren't you glad God has given to his word to us? It is indeed a true treasure that we have. Verse 15, meditation. The word meditate means to rehearse it in your mind, to go over it again and again. You know, you can't rehearse it if it's not there. And so you got to read it and know it and keep on reading it there. Let's read the verse. I will meditate. And that's a commitment that he makes. This is what I will do. I've made up my mind. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways there. We don't really fully grasp God's word just by skimming it or by hearing it once a week or twice a week. We've got to get in it. And repetition. Isn't that a big part of learning in school? Repetition, when we're teaching kids the multiplication tables, isn't it so important just to go over it and over it and over it again? You don't just tell them one time and they've got it. Well, maybe one or two might, in the course of your lifetime, you might see some students that sharp. But isn't repetition a key? Well, it is in the Word of God as well. We meditate it. We repeat it over and over again. Rerun sermons, I guess, are okay. We see rerun TV shows. Hear God's Word over and over again. He says, thy ways, in verse 15. And I have respect to thy ways. Not just the ways that I like and I enjoy doing, but all of God's ways, I have respect to that. And then we come to verse 16, and he has the word delight here. And that word delight has to do with pleasure and joy and satisfaction. Where do you find your delight? Where do you find joy? Where do you find satisfaction? He said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And so as we looked at the first stanza there, we saw that we are to love God's word and learn God's word and live God's word. Now when we come to the end of this stanza of eight verses, we see here, as we summarize this, we are to have a total search for the word of God. In verse 10, the first part, with my whole heart have I sought thee. I'm going to search out God's word. You can use a concordance. There are many different ways you can search out God's word. But search it out. You'll not find any contradictions there. You'll be blessed, and it will cleanse your heart as well. The second part of verse 10 says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And if we don't want to wander from God, then we have to look at his instructions. We have to do it by the book. And whenever we go by the book, then we will keep ourselves from wandering when we have total surrender to the word. And then verse 11, once again, we saturate our lives with the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God's word. We just can't read it too much, can we? We can't memorize it too much. And so sometimes we read it, especially if you're going through Leviticus and some of the other things, you might read them, and some of the prophets, you might read them, and you might not fully understand all those things about the book of Job, but it benefits us to read those things. As we read them, we may not fully understand, but God is using it to work in our hearts and lives. And it indeed is God's word that brings us delight and satisfaction. So in closing, let's look at five ministries of the word of God. The first ministry of the word of God is in verse 6. It keeps us from shame. He said, I'll not be ashamed when I have respect to God's word. If we don't look at public opinion or political correctness, but we say, God, what do you have to say about a matter? Then I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before God. And if we look to the word of God and obey the word of God and keep his statutes and walk in his ways, we'll not be ashamed. Another ministry of the word of God is in verse 9. I've mentioned it already. It keeps us from sin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So we do sin. We have that sinful nature. But aren't you glad that God's word cleanses us? Washing of the water of the word, the scripture says. But then in verse 10, we see another ministry of the word. It keeps us from straying, not just in sin, but doctrinally as well. He says, God, don't let me wander from your word. Lord, don't let me wander from your commandments. And that's why it's so important that our belief system, our faith, and whenever you see our church beliefs, they must be Bible-centered. It is the word of God. God, help me not to stray from the teachings of your word. Because we understand that belief and behavior are very closely connected. And so what we believe is very important because it will determine our way of life. That's what philosophy tells us there. So God's word keeps us from straying and going off with every, what the Bible says, not be blown about by every wind of doctrine. But I look to God's word and say, what does the Bible teach? Not how popular is it, but what does God's word say about this doctrine, this teaching? Two more. It keeps us from sin. Verse 11, that I might not sin. Well, verse 9, it says it cleanses us from sin. So aren't you glad to know that God's word is preventative and also it's curative? It works both ways. God's word can keep us from sinning, but if we mess up in sin, God's word purifies us there. What a wonderful thing, God's word. And then the last thing we see is that God's word gives satisfaction. Verses 14 and 16. I have rejoiced. God's word is not a burden. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that his commandments are not grievous. We want to please God. We desire to please God. And so we rejoice in the way of his testimonies. Verse 16, I delight in his statutes. That's where I find my joy, my delight, my satisfaction is in loving the word of God, living the word of God, walking the word of God. And there's a verse in Colossians, and we'll close with this verse, 3:16. We know John 3:16 well. What about Colossians 3:16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How can the word of Christ dwell in us richly if we don't read it, if we don't study it, if we don't meditate on it, if we don't memorize it? It won't dwell in us richly. And so it is very important. It is vital. The word of God is vital to our life spiritually, just as much as the blood in the body is vital to our life. God's word gives life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In the next several Sunday nights, not next Sunday, we'll be looking at the rest of this psalm. And so I encourage you to read over this psalm. And if you want to, if you really want to mark up your Bible, circle every one of those nine words that refer to God's word. If you don't want to do that, maybe print out Psalm 119 on some paper and write on it and mark it. And it'd be a wonderful study to see God's word and meditate on God's word, hash it over in your mind, and then walk in God's word. He's given it to us not just for an academic exercise. He's given it to us because it's our roadmap, how we can please God.